Well, things were all messed up, and the commander decides, makes a decision to give the people some recreation. Now, when you think of commander, you think of older, smarter, more intelligent, you know, the leader. That's not always the case. A captain has got an average time span of 3 to 8 years in the military. So he's young, he doesn't know a lot, and this commander made a mistake. For recreation, he took people up to the monastery in Europe, in Wildlicking. Now this monastery has to have something to fund them and support them for what their primary objective of religion or whatever is. Well, their funding apparatus is a product called Double Bock Beer. They manufacture this dark beer, and it is supposed to be the strongest beer in the world. Now, me and some of the other NCOs, we were actively engaged in a poker game, so we had no desire or intention to go up to this monastery. We could care less about it. Now, it wasn't until after the fact that I found out they had liquor up there. Now, if I'd have known there was liquor, the heck with that poker game, I'd have probably gone to the monastery. Well, earlier in the training activity, there was a fight between one of the privates and one of the platoon sergeants. And the fight came about because the private was sleeping with the platoon sergeant's daughter. And the platoon sergeant knew it but couldn't prove it. So his best thing then was to get rid of the private. So he would build up a file on him. And any little thing he did wrong, he would write him up with the intention of getting rid of it. Build this packet. The private did something stupid one day out there. Something you'd normally just holler at him, you know, don't do it again, stupid. But he writes a formal, you know, thing up about it, building his packets. When the packet gets big enough, he's going to throw him out of the military. We're in a tent in the middle of the woods. Got this little portable table that the legs fold up and you take it with you. And got this little box chair that each person sits on each side of the table. And platoon sergeant tells this guy, his name was, well, to protect his name was Tony. I knew him quite well. And the girl that he was playing with was platoon sergeant's daughter, which was a good friend of my daughter. And I know the incident or what occurred or what happened was true because I heard about it from Tony, and I also heard about it from my daughter without instigating the conversation. So I got two different sources that told me the same thing. Well, platoon sergeant, now this platoon sergeant is a Vietnam veteran, special forces, you know, they're trained to murder people. It's not somebody that you would go up and pick a fight with. Well, platoon sergeant is doing this file, and he's got Tony in there, and he's telling Tony, counseling for whatever it was, you know, some minor thing. And Tony told him, so, you know, this is bullshit. Platoon sergeant folded the folder over, said, you're right, but I'm building a packet on you. And when this packet gets big enough, I'm going to throw you out of the army because I know you're sleeping with my daughter. Tony leaned over the desk, looked platoon sergeant, the Special Forces Ranger, right in the eye, and told him, not only am I sleeping with your daughter, but your wife too. You can just about imagine like two hens going at it. They just tore that tent up. The commander comes out there and gets them separated. Why a private would attack a senior NCO who is also Special Forces, this guy's got to be crazy. So he sent him back for psychiatric evaluation. And he got all the NCOs together, and he told all the NCOs, Lord help the NCO that lays a hand on a private, because I will put you in jail. If a private takes a swing at you, you either evade, duck, or you take it, but you do not retaliate. That's an order. Well, fast forward now a couple days later. These guys come back from the monastery. They're already pissed off because we have to stay out in the woods longer. They want to be home. They got wives, they got girlfriends, they got bars to go to or whatever. And we're in the woods, in the mud, in the snow. It's cold, it's wet, it's dark, it's miserable. You have none of the amenities of home. You're tired, and enough is enough. You know, you're mentally, you're looking forward to a set date and time. And when that date and time comes and you're still here, it's like, wait a minute, something wrong. In the woods, you're segregated, but it's not a segregation of race. You're segregated by rank and authority. The officers were in one tent along with the first sergeant, senior NCO in the company. In another tent, these are large, like 40-man tents. Now the company, entire company, is only like 110, 120 men. And some of them had stayed back in the rear for whatever reason, so we had probably 80, 85 people out there in the woods. NCOs are in a large tent, 40-man tent or whatever, and there is about 8 NCOs to a platoon, 5 platoons, so you're probably, in a chemical company, you're real heavy on NCOs, so you probably had 25, 30 NCOs out there, and an equal amount, if not a little bit more, of lower enlisted, E4s on down. And they're in tents based on their platoon. There's 3 platoons out there, so there was 3 tents of enlisted people, a tent of NCOs and a tent of officers, and the first sergeant in the senior tent. Now, I think a senior tent also operated as an operations tent with the radios and everything, and the weapons were held at night, and the weapons rack and everything. You know, when this thing first started, you asked me about race and tensions, and I hadn't noticed that much of it or seen that much of it. One of the first things that I noticed in the military, and it was because of that time period, when I joined, the females were not a members of the military. They were not members of the Army. They had their own military, and it was called the WACS, Women's Army Corps. But in 75, 76, somewhere in that time period, the WACS were melted into the regular Army and were given equal chances of promotion and assignment and responsibility and authority and et cetera, because under the WACS they were clerical, medical, et cetera. Well, we had a female lieutenant in this chemical company. Good looking, young, probably 22, 23. One of the additional assignments that this lieutenant had was as the race relations officer. And there's all kinds of additional duties you have in the military: fire warden, security, race relations, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. She was also the race relations officer in charge. Well, when these drunks came down off the monastery, off the mountain, you would drive up there and you'd have to walk about a mile to get to where the monastery's at, and then get back to the trucks and then be hauled back down to the campsite. Two of these guys got into a fight over a can of sea rations, which is a military food. Mm-hmm. Sober, they wouldn't have fought over it. Sober, neither one of them would have wanted to eat it. But you're in the woods, and you're drunk, and you're hungry. These guys were fighting over a can of horse meat, whatever it was. This female breaks the fight up, and we break the fight up. But then she starts having a discussion about, you know, fighting and your fellow man, etc. And this goes on to being a discussion about race relations. Heck, the two guys that were fighting, I think they were both black. I don't remember if they were black and white or what, but I think they were both black. Well, it gets out of hand. And I remember one guy grabbing a hold of his crotch and telling her, "Baby, I got something for you. You can have over here. And you good looking, and we'll lay you down." And we went to tell this lieutenant, "Look, this is enough, you know, go to bed." She said, "No, I can handle it. You NCOs, go back to your tent." Well, she handled it all right, and shit blew up. And these guys, remember, are drunk, they're mad, and dead of winter, and it turned into a full-scale riot. Now, remember earlier, the commander had given the order that there would be, the NCO would not strike a private. Now, these privates have got tree limbs, bed bunk arms, that you use to put bunks together, and they're tearing the camp down. They took the radios and tore the guides out of the radio, and the radios were falling down. They tried to take a Jeep, but they didn't have any keys for it, so they took the Jeep and rolled it over. They knocked the commander out, knocked out the XO, knocked out the first sergeant, I mean physically knocked him unconscious. Ended up, we had to call the MPs, get the MPs out there. The MPs arrested the entire company and locked us up in the gym because the jail wasn't big enough. And then the MPs patrolled outside the gym. And that was the scaredest I ever was of any type of conflict. Now, these guys were going around in the dark and physically clubbing people to death. And you could hear them out there. They were looking for the females that were in the company. Now, we had taken the females and took them a couple hundred yards across an opening down into a ditch and put them down into a ditch and then went back in there into the area to try to calm things down. Several people ended up going to the hospital. There was no bullets there, so you know nobody got shot or killed. The end result was that five people were court-martialed or put up for court-martial charges. One was discharged in lieu of court-martial, in other words, kicked out of the military versus being court-martialed. Another one, the charges were dropped against. Three people were actually court-martialed, and those three people got a total of 127 years in jail out of a mutiny. And the mutiny resulted because of a total breakdown in the command structure. During the investigation later on, we had to go see, every NCO in the company had to go see three officers, two lieutenant colonels and a full bird colonel. Walk in and see the first lieutenant colonel, and he says, well, you had a gun there. Every time you take weapons to the field, you have to have at least one pistol with five rounds of ammunition. You should have took that pistol and shot the first son of a bitch that stood up and raised Cain. The rest of them would have settled down. You wouldn't have had a mutiny. Telling me I should have killed somebody over a bunch of drunks arguing? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Then we had to leave out of there one at a time now and go into the next room. In the next room, the colonel says, second lieutenant colonel says, well, nobody got hurt. You got the females out of there. They were safe. Nobody was killed or greatly damaged. I think you handled the situation the best you could based on what you had and the environment that you were in. Total opposite of what the first colonel said. Then we had to go into the third office to see the full bird colonel. And he says, well, I hope you learned something by talking to my two subordinates. And I'm thinking, yeah, I learned something. You're on your own. Because no matter what we had done, one would have considered us wrong, and the other one would have considered we did the best we could. If somebody had taken a gun and shot one of the mutineers, the other colonel said we were wrong. So I learned at that point in that time that nothing is clear cut. Nothing is black and white. There is a great larger deal of shades of gray. And in the 70s, you had kids, teenagers, young adults that complained or stood up against authority. I don't think it was so much race, drugs, politics. I think it was just the fact that they rebelled against authority, against being told to do anything, whether it is to wear these certain clothes, go to this school, associate with these people, or whatever. It was a rebellion of authority. And then later, in the second half of my career, as a result of not having any authority, you then have the me generation or the my generation. Everything is mine, 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 mine. But at the same time, everybody wants mine, mine, mine. They expect a social support platform. This is mine, and you should give it to me. It's not like it used to be in the 60s or in my parents' generations where if you wanted anything, you earned it. And the social structure of this entire country has changed. And I'm not saying it's changed for the bad or for the worse, but it is definitely different than what it was in the 50s and the 60s. Now, whether it was because we had something that pulled us together...